Good morning.
I'd
like to thank Cindy for leading the worship this morning. Thank you very much. This has always been a tough scripture to deal with. You'll find out as we go through it. The Sermon on the Mount is really a gift for any pastor, but this one, it's going to need some work, so I hope you'll be with me. It's from Luke 12, 49 through 56. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress am I under until it is completed? Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present times? Let us pray. Holy God, we greet you this day with wonder and humility. Your amazing grace sustains us, and the wonder of your creation astounds us. Thank you for sharing the gift of life with us. Thank you for offering to us your gift of holy presence and your unconditional acceptance of each one of us. Surround each of us with the indescribable comfort of your everlasting embrace. Catch us when we stumble, and lift us when we cannot get up. Forgive us our sins, and heal the brokenness of our spirit, which is irreparable apart from your redemption. Plant in each of us hope that surpasses doubt, faith that conquers fear, and love that outlasts hostility. We pray these things in the name of the Redeemer, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Summer is almost over. Labor Day is but 2 weeks away, and school is around the corner. As a college professor, I learned that there's one special day each semester on a college campus, and that is the first day of class. 99.9% of the students will be there, most of them with freshly purchased, untouched textbooks and supplies. The professor's grade sheet is untainted by grades. The students are on time. They begin the semester with the same resolve as their instructors. This term will be different. I will not come unprepared to class. I will not give a half-hearted effort. I will finish the semester with as much enthusiasm as I began it. This resolve usually lasts until the first exam, and then reality sets in. With that reality comes division. The students try to manage their time and balance obligations of work, of family, and school. They feel conflicted with too many different disciplines of study. They don't come together. There's no unity in the courses. Questions of identity and faith are crowded out by the immediate. The urgent pushes out the important, and with every decision, there are choices left unmade. And so it is with the primary choices that we make in our adult lives. When it comes to following the way of Jesus, our choices often bring division. Jesus taught his first listeners, and he desires to teach each one of us, that the work of God invariably brings division because it requires commitment and decision. But let us not hide from such a call, because in the process of division, God will unite us in the spirit of life and love, the spirit that makes life into a masterpiece. In today's scripture, Jesus was continuing on the road to Jerusalem, and he began to talk about the terrible stress and division that will accompany the coming judgment. Jesus had to bring God's peace, but the peace of redemption inevitably brings division also. Remember that in Luke 3:16, John the Baptist claimed that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Division will precede reconciliation. The message, peace on earth, will not be received without savage conflict, as we know today. God will, in the presence of guiding our lives, take us places that we didn't ever expect to go. I imagine that most of you, at one time or another, learned that truth. We can only choose the cause for which to fight and the commitments that are worth holding on to. Now God, after calling each one of us, will ask us to choose between friendship with the world and friendship with the Spirit. Who could listen to these words that Jesus uttered? I came to bring fire to the earth. I have a baptism with which to be baptized. Do you think I have come to bring peace to this world? No, I tell you, rather division. Now, who among us wants that? Surely his disciples thought that they were signing on for a little bit of peace and a little bit of security. But what they got was stress, fire, and conflict. They experienced the division that is known to only those who, above all else, seek truth. We have a sense of what it meant for Jesus in his time to say that his presence on this earth would bring a sword of division to his followers, one that would force the disciples and the early Christians to make excruciatingly difficult decisions about a discipleship which would put them at odds with the structures around them, government, religion, and even family. Jesus warned that those who make a commitment to him would be persecuted, as were the early Christians until Emperor Constantine made it the official religion of the Roman Empire. Because our commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord shapes our values, shapes our priorities, shapes our goals, shapes our behaviors, it forces each one of us to change old patterns of life, and those changes may precipitate crises in significant relationships, friends, and family. I have watched young adults face that challenge from the first day they come on a college campus. It is necessary that they transcend and move beyond the inherited values of their parents. They live with divided minds. They try to find groups that they will fit in perfectly, but will learn that at some point or another, they will not fit in quite perfectly. They struggle to find their place, their identity, their direction, while someone is always asking them, what are you majoring in? Or, what are you going to do when you graduate? Most of these students don't even know what they're going to do on Friday night, much less when they graduate. I had gone into the Army right after high school during the Korean War. And then after I got discharged honorably, I went to college, and I was at least 2 years older than the majority of incoming freshmen at that point. In the period of the 1950s, would you believe, at the college I attended, it was compulsory for the first-year males to wear beanies. And the young women would wear bows in their hair, designating them for a little bit of hazing from the upper classes. They also had to study for a test on the history and culture of the university by the end of the semester. I would have none of that. And with the other men who had served in the military, we chose not to participate with the rest of the freshman class. You think that is division? It surely was. More often than not, that kind of division will precipitate a crisis, as the other freshmen looked at us in those first year classes. Now, in our language, the word crisis has a negative meaning most of the time, but it really is a dignified word meaning dividing line or watershed. Crisis is something that we all, if we're really honest with each other, live through much of the time. There are so many choices, so many decisions, so many directions. How do today's college students get it all together? Not without help. This is a role that the church can fill with young adults, sort of a midwife to a new identity. As we watch these students move from teenage questions such as, what am I going to wear today, to young adult questions such as, who am I really in the mystery of human growth? Don't they say that? Sure. Church members can be there to help them through those kinds of questions. We do not know when it's going to happen, but we know it will happen. At some moment, each student will realize that things do hang together, that science class, psychology class, history class, even gymnasium, spirit, mind, and body, they will all come together to integrate a life, rather than simply prepare for a career. In the midst of that revelation, if the church is there really to offer them Christ, they may, just may, form their life in the shape of a cross. They will learn that in the divisions and crises of the days ahead, God will lead them through. Remember, God will never leave us alone. God will always be with us to the end of our days. What stress I am under, says Jesus, until it is completed. Jesus must have known that he would be the first casualty of the conflicts of the spirit and the world. In the second chapter of Luke's Gospel, Simeon said to Mary and Joseph, as they brought baby Jesus to the temple, "This child is destined for the falling and the raising of many in Israel, and it will be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And Mary, a sword will pierce your own soul also." Jesus would be the first casualty of division that attends the inbreaking of God's kingdom. Jesus teaches us that when we live as citizens of the kingdom, we will be at odds with the secular world around us. Jesus' coming on earth did mean division. It tore families in two. Over and over, family members had to decide whether they loved better Christ or family. The essence of Christianity is that loyalty to Christ has to take precedent over the dearest loyalties of this world. Each person must be prepared to count all things but loss for the superiority of Christ Jesus. Some of our most unexpected crises are those we face from the opposition of others when we set out to do what we perceive to be good, to be moral, to be right. Jesus himself knew how devastating such crises could be, and he warned his followers to be prepared to encounter them over and over again. It is not easy being a stranger in a strange land. It is not easy being out of step with your environment. What stress we will be under until our days are fulfilled. But at the end of that day, we have been promised that out of division and crises will come reconciliation, will come peace, will come wholeness. All of the misunderstandings, aloneness, and conflicts will give way to to the cosmic spiritual community of God's people. God made it clear from the very beginning that humans will be held responsible for their behavior. Adam and Eve could have stayed in the Garden of Eden forever if they had only followed God's wishes. The 12 tribes of Israel could have stayed in the Promised Land had they followed God's way. The southern kingdom of Judah would have been fine and not had to worry about its enemies had they followed God's will. But they all refused to listen. They were all shown the right way, but refused to follow. What is a parent to do? There is one other day for the college student that is special as the first day of class, and that is graduation day. The football stadium is filled. The whole family is there to see the one upon which their hopes rest. The divisions are healed. The crises are beyond. A new day begins. There is a peace promised beyond the stress of following a crucified Savior. A human valley, a human family united beyond any divisions that faith may have caused. There is no conflict, there is no division in the kingdom of God. The choice is ours today. There is a way that brings life and a way that brings death. Jesus has given us the opportunity to choose life, to choose to love God, to choose to love our neighbor as ourselves, to choose to live God's way of love. The consequences of our choices are severe. To live without love is a lonely, heart-hardening way to go. To live a life of love is one to be open to the Spirit of God and to an adventure that is beyond description. The choice is yours, the choice is mine. Are you ready to really give your life to Christ and follow his way of truth, of hope, of peace, and love?